I saw Jesus crucified. I spoke to him as he died. I saw him in his struggle. I watched as he breathed his last breath, and when he stopped breathing, I lost my breath too. The one who walked on water is no more. The one who fed 5,000 is now food for the worms. And if he has been defeated, what does that mean for me? I thought that he would be the king who would rise up and rule our nation. I thought that we were the ones to bring truth and revelation, but it turns out we were wrong. I mean, maybe we imagined this all along. As I watched his body taken down from the cross, I saw my friend was gone. He was the one who found me. How could this be? He must have gone before his time. It must have been too soon. It must have been an illusion or a dream. He can't be in a tomb. I can't come to grips with the thought that the man who claimed to be I am was slain by the hands of men. And then she burst through the door. Our friend Mary, she said, someone had taken the body of the Lord. So we ran to the tomb, only to find an empty room, and the stone was rolled away. I looked on the floor, and I saw his clothes, and that's when I knew. He rose. Jesus is alive. He did walk on water. He did feed the 5,000. He did raise Lazarus from the dead and heal thousands. He did make the wine. He did talk to God. He did pray for those who put him on the cross, and he raised back to life. Just like Lazarus, except for he would never die again. Jesus took death. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. For you. He laid his life down and he took it back again. Jesus is alive.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. The Lord is risen. See, I knew there were some of you that grew up with that tradition. Well, I think it was Jill that came in today, and she said, yeah, I said to some people out there, the Lord is risen. And they didn't say, the Lord is risen indeed. They didn't know that's what they're supposed to say. All right. Well, I'm still in Romans chapter 8 for the message today. And I want to read something to you. It seems appropriate for Resurrection Sunday. A man, his wife, and his mother-in-law went on vacation to the Holy Land. While they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. An undertaker told him, you can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it and told him he would just have her shipped home. The undertaker asked, why? Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to have her buried here and only spend $150? The man said, a man died 2,000 years ago. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance. All right. Isn't it such an amazing reality when you think about the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead? The Jesus who died to pay the price for our sins, to redeem mankind, the Jesus that we've come to know and love, he is alive right now. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. What's the big deal about the resurrection of Jesus anyway? People were raised in the Old Testament. Elijah raised the dead. Elisha raised the dead. One time they had a dead soldier. They're trying to figure out what to do with his body, and they found Elisha's tomb, and they just threw him in there. As soon as he touched Elisha's bones, he came alive. Paul raised the dead. Peter raised the dead. Jesus raised several people from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. One time there was a funeral procession coming, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jesus didn't go to seminary, and so he didn't know how to do funerals. And so he just raised this young man from the dead. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. What's the big deal about the resurrection of Jesus? Well, here's the big deal. Jesus is the only one who was ever raised from the dead with a celestial body, a permanent, eternal body. Everyone else that was raised from the dead died. They're not alive anymore. Lazarus is dead. They're all dead. Jesus rose from the dead never to taste death again. He conquered sin and the grave. In Revelations 1:18, he said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Revelations 1:18. We all have terrestrial bodies, these temporary abodes, but one day we will have a body like his, a celestial body, a body that is not subject to decay. We will step out of this earthly tent into a body that is eternal. Paul said that we groan in this earthly tent with a desire, longing to put on immortality. How many want their heavenly body? You know, I was at Park Plaza yesterday. We were having kind of a chapel time, and there was a gal she comes to these chapel services, and she's almost 98 years old. And she shared a testimony yesterday about when she was a young woman, she had a young daughter, and she actually died on the operating table. And she was being ushered up into heaven. She said there was such light. She said it didn't hurt your eyes or anything. But she said, "God, I want to raise my daughter. I want to raise my daughter." And all of a sudden, she's back in her body. And that was like quite a few years ago. Now she's almost 98 years old. Let's talk about the resurrection of our Savior, our Lord. Did you know that without the resurrection, we couldn't be born again? Everything hinged on that pivotal event, the victory that Jesus had over sin, over the grave, over the powers of darkness. The resurrection set things in motion. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the single most important event in human history. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood was shed for our forgiveness. Legally, it was done. The price was paid. I'm talking too fast, aren't I, Cheryl? Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." But see, it was his resurrection that set it in motion. It was his rebirth from the dead. He was the firstborn from the dead. That's what made the new birth available to us. Now, I don't know that I fully understand this, but the blood of Jesus, we know that that's what wipes out our sins. That's what cleanses us. But without the resurrection, there would be no forgiveness. It was the resurrection that validated the sacrifice of his blood. I want to begin today by sharing a verse of Scripture with you that I want us to think about during our time together today, and I guess I would encourage you to take this verse with you into your week. Spend some time with it. In your notes, there is great value in meditating on God's Word. It gets the Word from our head into our hearts. Meditation is what takes it from the theoretical realm into the practical. I can walk this out. I can live this out. That's what meditation does. So here's the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body." through His Spirit who dwells in you. If you are saved, if you have received the gift from the Father, see, the salvation, everything that God has for us, is wrapped up in a person. His name is Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And I know for me, even though I grew up in church, I didn't know the Lord. Even though I went to Sunday school, I heard the stories. Even though I went through a process as a kid where they kind of baptized me, they put some water on me up front and stuff, I did not know the Lord. I just went through the motions of what I was asked to do. But there came a point in my life, I was about 19 years old, and I just thought, God, if you're real, I want to know you. See, I had rejected the God of my perception. I had perceived God almost as maybe an old man up in the clouds that really wasn't relevant to life, wasn't relevant to my life. Man, I played in a rock band. I was getting into all these things of the world. But there came a point in my life where I'd like to say that I started searching for God, but the truth is, He initiated that. How many know that? He initiated that. He began to stir my heart to go after Him and to know Him. And it was just an amazing thing to realize what God was really like. See, I had rejected the God that I had perceived in my understanding. I was running from Him. But in the process of all of that, my parents had a radical experience in God, and different things were happening around me, and I thought, you know, God, if you're really like you seem to be looking like right now, I could serve a God like that. If you're a God who actually answers prayer, who actually cares about me, who actually loves me, I could serve a God like that. And I surrendered my life to Him, and it changed everything. In fact, this is probably premature, but I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, or if you're watching online, or even if you watch this on YouTube at a later time, I want to encourage you to open your heart to God. Let every heart prepare Him room. How many know that song? How we are the one that opens our heart for Him. And we do that through prayer. We do that through acknowledging our need for God. So I want to encourage you. Pray this with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to know You. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to turn away from those things. I choose to turn to You. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that He rose from the dead. And Jesus, I receive You as Lord. Take charge of my life. Show me why You created me. I want to serve You with all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those are not magic words. Nothing happens by reciting those words. But if that was a prayer that you prayed sincerely from your heart, then a relationship with God has just been initiated. And you can get to know the God who loves you and discover what He is really like. Now back to this verse. If you are saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, He will quicken and give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Isn't that powerful? Take that with you into your week. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of resurrection. And everything that you and I will ever learn out of the new covenant, out of this book, is through the Holy Spirit. And it is always to reveal the resurrected Christ, the finished work of Calvary. You know, did you know that Jesus is not on a cross anymore? Jesus is not in a tomb anymore. He has risen from the dead. And his resurrection changes everything. Acts chapter 1. You know, some years on Resurrection Sunday, we look at the resurrection story in one of the Gospels. Other years, we focus on the testimonies of his resurrection power, testimonies in lives of people that we know, and how God has absolutely transformed their lives. Today, I want to gravitate between several places in the New Testament that talk about the resurrection of Jesus and how it impacted the early church. Now, in your notes, well, let me back up. Did you know that the early church didn't have a day during the year where they celebrated the resurrection of Jesus? Do you know why? That's right. They celebrated it every day. Every day was a celebration of the reality that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And because of that, you know, I was listening to that video that Krista shared with us this morning. And you know, that I imagine sometimes, what did it feel like to the disciples between when Jesus was crucified on the cross and when he was known to be resurrected? What kind of emotions, what kind of turmoil, what kind of frustration, what kind of disappointment? Man, I gave him 3.5 years of my life. I left everything. What am I going to tell my wife? I left my career. I know I'm talking too fast. The disappointment. And all of a sudden, when the reality of the resurrection came, the joy, the hope, the expectation for the future. In your notes, you and I, we were born for the impossible. Maybe I should say it this way. We were born again for the impossible. You were uniquely designed in the new creation to walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ where the impossibilities of life are confronted by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. How many here have ever had an impossibility in your life? Just two of us. Huh. I must be preaching at the wrong church. Something that is beyond you, but of course not beyond God. You are uniquely designed by God to confront these things. It's in your spiritual DNA. You are designed to carry that potential into every day, to carry that with you, realizing that I'm partnering with God. His Spirit lives inside of me, the source of all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the source of supernatural power. It's all here. I'm going into the day looking for divine appointments, looking for opportunities to see the kingdom released. You know, the resurrection, it defines everything around us. Everything else in life is defined by this one reality. Take everything else in life, all of the confusion that exists in the world today, all of the craziness that is going on around us, there's only one answer. It can all be settled. It can all be restored with a clear understanding of the resurrected Christ. All of it. When Jesus died, he didn't die forgetting anything. He didn't offer himself as an answer for part of the problem. He became the offering to settle all the issues. And that is the lens that we are to perceive life through. Life is about perceptions. In your notes, the renewed mind perceives through the risen Christ, through the finished work of Calvary. C.S. Lewis made a statement I want to read us. He said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Now notice S-U-N. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, I see the sun, but because by it, I see everything else. Not only do I see the sun, but the light that the sun provides allows me to see everything else. He's using the sun as an analogy of Jesus who has risen. And just as the natural sun allows you to see everything else, so the resurrected Jesus Christ allows us to see everything from heaven's perspective. It becomes the lens that I see everything else through. And by that, every impossibility around me can be challenged by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Amen. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ redefines everything about life. It redefines relationships. It redefines purpose, dreams, vision. Everything seems to take on a different flavor. I don't know if that's the right word, because Jesus conquered death in our place and rose victorious. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most demanding reality in all of life. This claim of his death and resurrection, it's so significant that if it's not true, I owe humanity the rest of my life to warn them about this lie and to disprove this fallacy. On the other hand, if it is true, as we know, I owe humanity the rest of my life to bring the story and demonstrate the power of his resurrection, to give witness to demonstrate that Jesus is alive. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he spent time with his disciples. And as he was about ready to ascend to the Father, he said these words, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In your notes, the power comes with the Holy Spirit. The power is the Holy Spirit in the person of the Holy Spirit. This power to witness isn't just about the ability to talk or even the boldness to talk. That's part of it. It's the power to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the power to demonstrate that he is alive. Well, what does that look like? Well, we read in Acts chapter 1 the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of power. We know that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. They spoke in tongues. The church was birthed. But with Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is this promise of power. That this promise of an ability to demonstrate that Jesus is alive, that Jesus rose from the dead. I love Acts 4, verse 33. It says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. And in your notes, every miracle that took place demonstrated the resurrection. They demonstrated that Jesus was alive. Every healing, every answer to prayer, it gave witness to the resurrection. I'm giving you a lens to look through. This lens changes everything. A few years ago, I used to go into juvie once a week with a group of people. We were trying to connect with at-risk youth to, you know, just to be a source of help to them. Just to try to connect and maybe speak some encouraging life into their lives. And there was one fellow that was in there who was a meth addict. His name was Daryl. And he, it's interesting what a meth addiction will do to you. It will cause you to burn bridges in relationships. It will cause you to do things that you would normally never think about doing. And so I was connecting with Daryl, and I knew he kind of had a bad back because every time we'd sit down together, he could only sit for a little while, then he'd have to get up and walk around a little bit. And so I started getting so I would actually, not just on Tuesdays, but I would go there on a Thursday or on a Friday, and I would connect with him. And he and I were in this room. We were the only ones in there. They're watching us, of course. And I started to talk to him about the Lord. And he said this to me. He said, sometimes I want to believe in God. Sometimes I don't want to believe in God. And sometimes I don't know what God to believe in. And I said, man, you really said that well. You know, I understand the confusion. There are so many religions in the world today. But let me tell you what I've discovered. Religion is man reaching out, trying to find God, trying to be good enough, trying to measure up somehow, trying to earn favor with God. But Christianity is God reaching down to man in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and saying, here, let me show you why I created you. Let me show you how I designed life to be. And my wife and I had just come back from Brazil, and so I said, and you know what the other big difference is between Christianity and all the other religions? He said, what? I said, the guy who started it, he's alive. They killed him on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, but he was raised from the dead. He's alive right now, and miracles still take place in his name. And I started sharing with him some of the miracles that we had seen in Brazil. I'd probably been back 2 weeks from Brazil. And there was a young lady that had come up to my wife. There was a pack of girls. I don't know if you know this, but girls travel in packs no matter what language they speak. And so this pack of girls came over, and this one came over to Mickey, and her feet were like this. And that's not a foot problem, is it? It's up in here. And she said, I just want to be able to kneel when I pray. She said, I just want to be able to dance before the Lord. And so Mickey just had her sit down kind of on a platform like this, and she picked up her legs and started praying. All of a sudden, her feet went like this. She put her feet down. She stood up for the first time looking at her feet like that. And Mickey said, why don't you kneel down? So she kneels down, and then she jumps up and starts twirling and dancing around. And Daryl said, well, you know, if I saw a miracle like that, I would believe. I said, well, you know, I know you've got a bad back. Now, I had no idea what the problem was, which ignorance is bliss sometimes. I said, hey, would you mind if I prayed for your back? And he was just sitting in a chair like Todd is, and I just had him lean forward a little bit, and I just put my hand in his back like this. And I prayed a simple prayer. I just said, Lord, you are the healer. I ask you to touch Daryl in Jesus' name. Show Daryl that you're alive. That you're real, in Jesus' name. I said, stand up. He said, check your back. And he goes, I can't do this. I'm not kidding you. I can't do this. And then he sat down. Something happened to my collar. He sat down and he said, tell me about Jesus. And not only did he get saved, but his parents got saved. Because wherever Jesus went preaching the kingdom was released in power. Wherever Paul went preaching the kingdom, it's not just speaking the words of the kingdom, but it's demonstrating the power of the kingdom, demonstrating that Jesus is alive. He's not a religion. He's not it's not something that somebody made up to try to get close to God. This was God's idea for redeeming mankind and bringing us back into the relationship with the God who created us. What was I doing when I was talking to Daryl? I was demonstrating the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus is alive. and miracles still happen in his name. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus alluded to this before his death, this giving witness to his resurrection with great power. You know, I often find myself meditating in John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And the reason I do is because they're all the same evening. John chapter 13 begins with the Last Supper. And then there's this time that Jesus communicates with his disciples just prior to being arrested. And he speaks very candidly to his disciples. And he alludes to this power demonstration that would take place through answered prayer. It's a lens that I have begun to see everything through. I want to just take a few verses from John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus is inviting us into this place. Are you doing okay? This place of demonstrating he is alive through prayer. Now remember, as you look at these are the last words of Jesus before his arrest. He knows he's about to be crucified, to pay the price, to redeem mankind, to usher us into a brand new covenant by the shedding of his own blood. But he would also, he also knew that he was going to rise again. Now, John chapter 14, I'm starting in verse 12. I'm trying to not be too excited, Cheryl, so I talk slow enough. Verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Can you believe that? Jesus is inviting us to do the works that he did. What does that look like? Let's keep reading. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you believe in me, that qualifies you to do the works that he did. He is inviting us into answered prayer, not hours of travailing prayer, which can have a value, but rather he will answer your prayers to glorify the Father. See, when you pray for somebody and God heals them, or God answers a financial situation, or however the prayer is answered, it brings glory to the Father. It glorifies God. When you pray for somebody and they get healed, you don't get glorified. Everybody doesn't look at you and say, oh man, look at you. No, they realize you're just a person. You're just flesh and blood. You can't do anything. The Father is glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Are you picking up on the invitation of Jesus here? John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If you abide in me, communion, fellowship, spending time with him, and my word abides in you. His word gets down inside of you. That's what meditation does. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, by what? By answered prayer fruit. By the fruit of answered prayer, the Father is glorified. Same chapter, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. You may have thought that God chose you, but in truth, in reality, how did I say that? You may have thought that you chose God. That's what I'm trying to say. But in reality, he chose you. He set the whole thing up. The Holy Spirit was working. And he appointed you. He ordained you to go and bear fruit, the kind of fruit that remains. Well, what does that look like? That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Sounds like the fruit of answered prayer again, doesn't it? One more, John chapter 16. Like Jesus is about ready to take off. He's about ready to be crucified, and he's saying, please, guys, step into this arena of prayer so that the Father will be glorified. I want you to bear a lot of this kind of fruit because it actually has eternal significance. We're talking about fruit that remains. It may have just been a miracle of healing somebody's shoulder, but the fact that they gave their life to God, that's eternal. Amen. Verse 23, John 16. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Jesus is serious about this invitation to pray. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. See, part of the joy that God wants you to experience is the joy of answered prayer. That your joy may be full. Let's stand together. I almost feel like I'm commissioning you today. You know, there's the theory of Christianity, and then there's the practical walking it out. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And if he dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life. He'll quicken your mortal body to empower you to walk it out. He lives inside of you, but he wants out. I always wanted to say that. If you're hearing me today, the devil better watch out. The Spirit will quicken and give life to your mortal body. You have the power to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In your notes, you have the power in you to demonstrate his resurrection. The impossibilities that you're facing, you were created for this. You have been empowered by the Spirit of God. I just want to invite you into a prayer with me this morning. Pray this with me. Father, well, actually, position yourself first to receive. Say, Father God, I am yours. You are mine. You live in me. And I know you want out. Through my life. Through my prayers. Through my relationships. I surrender everything to you. Help me to see. Help my mind to be renewed by your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, let boldness come upon my life. Empower me to demonstrate the kingdom. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to say it. I commission you in the name of Jesus Christ to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to recognize who you are in Jesus Christ, to be fruitful and multiply, to go forth with the message of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let blind eyes be opened. Let hearts receive the seeds of the kingdom. Let impossibilities be unable to stand before you in Jesus' name. All right, you can be seated. Can someone go back and invite the kids and the teachers to come back into the service as we head into the baptism worship team? Can you come? Samuel and Stacy, I want to invite you to come up here. As Mickey shared, they have an opportunity today to share an evangelistic message at the Sleep Center, and I just want to pray for them. And you know, they've been serving there for a season now, and they've poured it. Why don't you just turn around and face everybody? And they've been pouring into lives there, and I believe that God has given them credibility. And I just want to pray for God to just anoint. In fact, if you, any of you that would like to join, to lay hands on him too, you're welcome to come up here. But I just want to believe God for a divine appointment today in Jesus' name. Stretch out your hands towards him. Father, we thank you for Samuel and Stacy. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I just ask you to anoint every word that they say. I pray that you would just allow your kingdom and the seed of your kingdom to penetrate hearts today. Let there be an openness. Let there be a receptivity. Father, use them for your glory in the name of Jesus. Let your ways be made known. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Lord, just allow them to rest in you, to just as if to fall back in your arms, God, knowing that you're doing this and they can just rest in you in Jesus' name. We just pray for hearts to be open, eyes to be unblinded, your ways to be known in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God bless you, saints. Have a great week celebrating the resurrection of Jesus.